Less than 3 weeks away from the U.S. midterm elections, we're exploring what exactly Americans will be voting for. First up today on CNN Student News, five things to know about the midterms. One, they're called midterms because they happen in the middle of a president's four-year term. So voters aren't choosing a president this year. They're choosing their representatives in Congress, as well as many local and state offices. Two, the U.S. House of Representatives. Elected officials serve two-year terms. That means all of the chamber's 435 seats are up for election this year. Three, Republicans currently control the House by a significant majority. They're expected to stay in control after this year's midterms. Four, the U.S. Senate. Elected officials there serve six-year terms, so about a third of the chamber's 100 seats are up for election. Democrats currently control the Senate, but by a slim majority. So, five, many analysts are saying Republicans have a good chance of taking Senate control this fall. The date of the vote, November 4th. Next today, we've heard from the nurse at a hospital in Dallas, Texas, who apparently caught the Ebola virus from a victim she was treating. 26-year-old Nina Pham says she's doing well and thanks everyone for their kind wishes and prayers. She also says she's blessed by the support of family, friends, and the care of doctors and nurses at her hospital. Pham also received a blood transfusion from American Ebola survivor Dr. Kent Brantley. It's possible that antibodies from a survivor's blood could help someone else with the disease. According to the World Health Organization, almost 9,000 cases of Ebola have been reported, mostly in West Africa. About half of those people have died. The World Health Organization expects that by December, between 5,000 and 10,000 new cases will be reported every week in West Africa. In the U.S., the CDC is preparing an emergency response team that it says can be at any American hospital within hours to help treat Ebola and prevent it from spreading. Dr. Sanjay Gupta explains how that can happen to healthcare workers.
So I want to give you an idea of what the CDC is recommending in terms of how to protect yourself with this personal protective gear. I'm also going to show you how to take it off, which some say is the most dangerous part. I will point out as we start to do this, I work in an operating room every week. This is different than what most doctors I think are used to, at least in the operating room. I do want to point out this is a little different than how I suited up when I was in Guinea, but we're following CDC protocol. And I want to show you how I'm going to take this protective equipment off, and I'm also going to put a little chocolate sauce in my hand, which could represent a possible Ebola contamination. Take a look. This is the mask back on. So here's would be the most likely contaminated area. Would be my gloves, and maybe the front of my gown, a bit like this. Okay, now I gotta treat this as if I'm potentially contaminated. I come out, what I'm gonna do with this particular gown, I'm gonna rip it all off together, and everything's gonna come off simultaneously. But if part of the glove sort of brushed against my hand, my arm there, that could potentially be an exposure. If the glove didn't come off properly, I would reach underneath here as best I could and get underneath there, but perhaps if I didn't do it exactly right, there could be another potential exposure there. I'm reaching behind now as well as I can, but let's say the side of my face shield was contaminated and I touched here. That could potentially be an exposure. Same thing here now with the face mask. So now take a look. Right there, see a little bit of chocolate sauce, one possible exposure, and over here on my neck, one possible exposure.